All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a case a listener asked about, a big one, out of Indiana back in 2003, NMV State. And this one really gets to the heart of how juvenile courts, how they got to handle a kid's right to a lawyer. So it should make everyone think, really, anyone who, you know, cares about how the justice system works, especially for young people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the core, what this case boils down to is, can a juvenile, like, can they really give up that right to have a lawyer if they don't totally get that they could have one, you know, for free? It might seem simple on the surface, but trust me, the details matter a lot.
Definitely. And that's kind of our whole mission in this deep dive, right? We're going to break down everything that happened to NMM, why the Indiana Court of Appeals, like why their decision was such a big deal. And the key takeaways here, especially for folks interested in how, you know, how our system treats young people. For context, we're talking about NMM, a 15-year-old, and the court found her delinquent for robbery. But the real question, the big one, is was her choice to not have a lawyer, was that even valid?
Right. So first things first, we got to lay out what happened. December 9th, 2001, 15-year-old NM, she's with two other teens, and they get involved in this robbery. They go up to a girl, AO, in a laundry room, and they demand her shoes at gunpoint.
Yes.
It was a very serious situation, obviously, which led to the whole legal process getting started.
Okay, so after this robbery, what did the police do? I mean, what were the first steps they took?
So the police, they did read NM her Miranda rights. Standard procedure, right, when someone's in custody. But this is where things get interesting and where the problems, the ones that led to this appeal, where they start. At her initial hearing, the one in juvenile court, neither NM nor her mother, they weren't specifically told that if they couldn't afford a lawyer, the court would give them one, free of charge. That key bit of info was left out.
Wow. That does seem like a pretty important thing to miss. So what happened at that hearing? Even with that information missing, what happened?
Well, both NM and her mom, they got this form. It was called Court Advisement of Rights. And they both signed it. They signed it saying they were waiving their right to a lawyer. So based on that signed waiver, NM admitted to the robbery. And because of that, she was found delinquent. And they sentenced her to 24 months in a juvenile facility.
Hold on, let me get this straight. She got her Miranda rights, generally, but they didn't specifically say she could have a free lawyer if they couldn't afford one. Then she signs this waiver, admits she did it, and gets sentenced. So the huge problem, the thing this whole case rests on, is that nobody told her about appointed counsel, right?
Exactly. That missing piece of the puzzle. That's the basis of the legal challenge that followed. You see, later on, NM, she argued that because nobody clearly explained that she could get a free lawyer, her decision to go without one, it wasn't really knowing, intelligent, or voluntary. She didn't understand the whole picture.
Which leads us to the big question the Indiana Court of Appeals had to figure out. Was her admission, like saying she did it, was that even legally valid if she wasn't told she could have a court-appointed lawyer?
You got it. And the answer to that, the court, they had to look at Indiana's rules. Like, what are the standards they got to follow when a kid says they don't want a lawyer? And in Indiana, there's this three-part test. It's very specific. The courts have to use it in cases like this with juveniles.
Okay, so this three-part test sounds crucial. Walk me through it. What are the things they have to tell a juvenile to make their choice to not have a lawyer, to make it valid?
Sure. So first part, the juvenile's got to be told about the nature of the right to counsel. Like, what does a lawyer even do? And why is it important to have one? You know, especially it's not enough to just say, hey, you got a right to an attorney. The kid has to understand practically what that means.
That makes saying it doesn't mean they get it, right? So what's the second part of this test?
Second part, they got to be told about the consequences. Like, what could happen if they go through this whole legal process without a lawyer? What are they risking by making that choice?
Right. So not just what they're giving up, but what could happen because of it. And the third part, the one that was so important in NM's case.
That's the one. They got to be told straight up that if they can't afford a lawyer, the court will appoint one for free, no cost to them or their family. And this is the part that was missing in NM's case. It wasn't on that court advisement of rights form either.
So it's not enough that they mentioned she could have a lawyer. They had to specifically say that it wouldn't cost them anything if they couldn't afford it. That's a big difference.
It is. It's the difference that the Court of Appeals really honed in on. That the trial court didn't do that, didn't tell her about this third part. That's the problem. That's why they reversed the decision.
So because of that, the Indiana Court of Appeals, they said, nope, we're reversing this. But what was their reasoning? Like, how did they explain their decision?
Well, they put a lot of weight on following Indiana's juvenile waiver statute. To the letter. They basically said, look, courts can't cut corners or make assumptions when it comes to a kid's rights, especially the right to a lawyer.
Now, the trial court, they probably argued that she signed that form, the court advisement of rights, and there was supposedly an informational video. Didn't they say that was enough?
Oh, they did. They tried to say that was enough to tell her about her rights, and so her waiver was good. But the Court of Appeals, they weren't buying it. They pointed out, hey, that form, it doesn't even mention appointed counsel if you can't afford your own lawyer. And the video, they said, we have no proof she watched the whole thing or that she understood it, especially the part about a free lawyer.
So the court basically said, you can't just give a kid a form or a video and assume they get it. They need to be told directly.
Exactly. They made it clear that juveniles, they get more protection under the law than adults. They need to be told things directly, individually. You can't treat them the same way you would an adult in this situation. They're just not at the same level developmentally, and there's a power imbalance there.
Right. A 15-year-old and an adult, they're different, especially when it comes to understanding this complicated legal stuff.
Absolutely. And the court, they also talked about void judgments versus voidable ones. The state, they probably wanted to say that not telling NM about appointed counsel was just a small mistake, that it could be fixed. But the Court of Appeals, they said no way. They said that when you mess up a basic right like the right to a lawyer, the whole thing is invalid from the start. It's void, like it never happened, not voidable, like it could be fixed later.
So not just a small oops, the whole judgment was no good because they messed up that initial waiver. Big consequences.
Huge. And just so everyone knows, the judge who wrote the majority opinion for the Court of Appeals, that was Judge May. And in that opinion, they laid it out clearly. You have to tell juveniles about their rights, including appointed counsel, in a way they understand.
All right. So after this NM v. State ruling, what changed? What were the big takeaways for you? Like, how did this case affect juvenile courts and kids' rights?
Well, the biggest thing is that now, in Indiana, juvenile courts have to really make sure that a kid understands their rights, especially the right to a free lawyer if they need one. They have to tell them directly, and the kid has to say they understand. Forms and videos, they're not enough anymore.
So just having them sign a paper or watch a video, that doesn't cut it anymore.
Nope. They might still use those things, but it can't be the only way they try to inform a kid about their rights. They have to have a conversation. The judge or someone from the court, they have to explain it to the kid directly and make sure they get it. Maybe ask them questions to be sure.
What happens if they don't do that? Like, what if later on someone says, hey, they didn't tell this kid about their right to a free lawyer the right way? What happens then?
Well, like what happened with NMEMB, the whole case can get thrown out. It's not just a do-over, a new trial. If that initial waiver isn't done right, everything that came after it, it's all no good, legally speaking.
That's a big deal. It really shows how important it is to do things right, especially when it comes to young people in the legal system.
Definitely. I mean, it all comes back to fairness, making sure everyone, especially kids who might not understand all this legal stuff, that they get treated fairly.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, some of them might not even know they could get a free lawyer. They might think they have to pay and just give up without knowing there's another option. This case, it was trying to fix that.
So the big lesson from NM v. State, the thing everyone should remember, is that when a kid decides to go without a lawyer, especially when they could have gotten one for free, we gotta be absolutely sure they understand what they're doing. The court, they have to make sure of that.
You got it. And it makes you think, too, about how we make sure everything's fair in the legal system. Not just for kids, but for anyone who might not understand their rights, you know?
It does. Makes you wonder if there are other situations, other groups of people who need to be told things in a really clear way to make sure they get it.
Yeah.
That's something to think about for sure. Thanks for breaking down this case with me. It's been really helpful.
Anytime. Happy to do it.
And to everyone listening, as you're thinking about NM v. State and this whole idea of kids having the right to a free lawyer, it does make you wonder, are there other parts of the law, other situations where we need to be extra careful to make sure people understand their rights, especially people who might be vulnerable? Something to keep in mind.